As I have served the Lord as a pastor, there's a lot of lessons that you learn along life's way. And one of the lessons that maybe I would like to just impart to you today is a lesson that I am still in that school and still in that process, but it's something that we all need every day in our lives. And that's the lesson of prayer. And that's what I'd like to do today, if I could, for the few minutes that I have, just remind you of some lessons from the school of prayer. And as you read your Bible through, and I know that probably many of you do that on a regular basis, I've tried to make that a practice in my ministry. It's amazing, the Word of God, and how that every time we read the Word of God, we learn new lessons and new things to help us. One of the things that I have tried to practice as I read through the Bible, when I come up on a prayer, I look at that prayer, that whoever it was that prayed it, the circumstances that they were in. And I try in my life to practice praying the prayers of the Bible. And one of the great blessings to me and these prayers in the Bible, and a prayer that I try to pray almost every day, is found in Psalm 143, and that's my text today. And this is a Psalm of David. And I want you to look with me at these verses of Scripture, beginning in verse number 8 of Psalm 143. David said, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." And today, as we meditate upon these verses of Scripture, I want to call your attention to some things that David prayed in the school of prayer. And these are good things to pray in your life and good things to pray every day. And I want you to notice, first of all, and as I see these verses and kind of put my thoughts with it, I want you to notice that David's prayer was a prayer to stay positive. He said, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." Now, the Bible teaches us that there are many voices, many kinds of voices in the world. We know we have the voice of the world, the voice of the devil. We have the voice of friends, all kinds of voices that we continually hear as we go about our day. But David said, "Lord, here's what I want you to do for me. When I get up in the morning," he said, "I want you to cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." Above all the other voices that are in this world today, above all, I want to hear the voice of God's loving kindness in my life to help me to stay positive in the world in which we live in. Every day that we live, we have a battle going on in our life. And you'll find out that the older that you get, the more this battle rages. But that's the decision that we make every day, whether we're young or old, as we get up in the morning, that I'm going to keep a positive attitude or I'm going to live on the negative side of life. I want to tell you that I've lived on both sides. And I know what it's like to be negative and critical. And I know what it's like to be positive. And I pray, oh God, help me to hear your loving kindness every day to keep me on the positive side of life. There's a lot of things that we need to stay positive about. We need to stay positive about our own lives. It's easy for the devil to get you in a negative spirit and to cause you to think that God's never going to use you, this is never going to work out in your life, to get you discouraged and get you defeated. But when we hear God's words and His loving kindness, we realize that He has positive thoughts that He thinks toward us. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope and to bring us to an expected end. You are God's child. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:20 that we are people of inheritance. We have a spiritual inheritance that God wants to give all of us. Don't go negative on your life and think, I can't do this. Ask God to cause you to hear His loving kindness in the morning. And then, you know, there's a lot of other things that I want to stay positive about. I want to stay positive about my church. I want to stay positive about my pastor, the leaders of my church. And as a student, I just want to encourage you to stay positive about your school and about your faculty and about your leaders. And it's so easy to get negative in the world that we live in, but I want to stay positive and be a positive influence in my country. So therefore, I have to pray. Oh God, help me above everything else. Cause me to hear Your loving kindness in the morning. For in You do I trust. A prayer to stay positive. And then secondly, I want us to look also at a prayer for guidance. And I want you to notice again these words. He said, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto Thee. Now there's a difference in God showing us and God causing us to know what it is that He wants us to do that day. I know that you feel the same way. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And there's many things about a sheep that are not very flattering. One thing about a sheep that you've heard taught is that a sheep is stubborn. And we all have that stubborn nature that we were born with and we inherited from Adam. And another thing about a sheep is they lack direction. And outside of God, I lack direction. Outside of God, you lack direction. There's a lot of things and a lot of people that would like to direct your life and would like to direct mine. And I want to tell you, I found out in life, as I've gone through life, that there's been a lot of times that I was really sensitive to the voice of the Lord, and it seems like that, I don't mean I could hear an audible voice, but it just seems like that I was absolutely sure that this was what God wanted me to do. But I've also found out in life that there's many times in life that I really wasn't sure what it was God wanted me to do. And I needed a nudge because I had a tendency to just step back and wait and just try to figure my way through something. I'll tell you, when I grew up in Montgomery, West Virginia, about 50 miles from here. And when I was in high school, my freshman year in high school, on September the 5th, 1965, my dad, my mom got saved when we were kids and took us to church. And I really grew up in church. And back then, they used to give Sunday school pens to kids that were faithful. And if you were sick, they would count that, or if you were gone. And I remember one time getting a Sunday school pen for 8 years of perfect attendance. Now, you know, as I look back on that now, they should have given that to my mom. My mom's been with the Lord for a few years. But I mean, there's many a time that I didn't want to get out of bed. Mom, I'm too tired to go to church today. I don't feel good. But it was never an option in our home. My dad was a good man, but my dad was not saved. And he would go to church with us some, and he was a good father. And I had a burden to pray for my dad. And one of my friends in Montgomery then was a town that was full of young people and young families and kids on the street. But one evening, one of my friends, one of the neighbors, his dad worked for the railroad. He came home and he died of a heart attack. And you know, that really burdened me for my dad and my dad's soul. And I began to pray, and we started getting my dad to go to church with us. September the 5th, 1965, there was a man from the church that came to see my dad, and my dad and mom had gone to visit my aunt, and my sister and I, my brother, were there. We didn't want to go. My sister was 18. I was 13. My brother was 11. And he waited about 2 hours on my dad. He had that kind of a burden for him. My dad got home, him and my mom, and about an hour later, he came around the house to tell me and wanted me to come around there, and my dad had accepted Christ as his Savior. What a wonderful day that was. 10 days later, my dad came home from work. He worked at the water company. And in the same swing that he had trusted Christ as his Savior, he had a massive heart attack and died and went to be with the Lord. I mean, he didn't know he was sick. He didn't know that probably when that guy from the church came, that may have been my dad's last call. But thank God he got saved. And one day by God's grace, I'll see him again. But it really threw our lives in a different light. And my mom struggled to raise us. We were rambunctious boys and so forth. And one night before my father passed away, you remember, you older folks that are here, you remember the telecast. Back then it was black and white TV. But they would have Billy Graham crusades, and we would sometimes watch those crusades on TV. And I remember one night watching a crusade, and God spoke to my heart and called me to preach. I wasn't sure about a lot of things, but I felt like in my heart that God had called me to preach. I told nobody. Didn't tell my mom, didn't tell anybody. Graduation came a few years later, and myself, in my mind, I was scared to death, 17 years old. I'd never been out of anywhere. I'd never been anywhere. Never been across the state line from West Virginia. Back then, people didn't travel like they do now. And even though the state line was only 80 miles away, I'd never been across the state line. And I knew that God wanted me to do something. And about, you know, here's what I decided. I decided, well, I'm just going to stay around town, and I'm not going to really do anything right now. I'm just going to wait. And I was scared, and I needed some prodding. And I thought, I'll just wait. And that's what I did. I had a little job at a service station that I liked, and I thought, I'm just going to go to college here in Montgomery, and there would have been nothing wrong with that if that had been God's will for my life, but I did not feel right about it. About 3 weeks after I graduated, there was three guys that were my friends. One of them I lockered 4 years with in high school. They were in a car accident, and God engineered all the circumstances that I heard about the wreck that night when it happened, and we just lived right across the river from where it happened. And I got there when there were my friends, and one of those guys that was in that car was the Methodist pastor at that time's son, and he was critically injured. I remember sitting in the hospital there in Montgomery that night, and about 2:30, them coming out and saying that he had died and his life was over. And I'll tell you, I knew in my heart that I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. And I really became disturbed about it. I'd go to work. I worked 2 to 10 in a service station. And every time I'd get in the car, I'd say, God, please keep me safe. I am going to do your will someday. And God put the pressure on me. And I'm so thankful that God didn't let me do what I wanted to do, because I'd have messed my life up. But you know, toward the end of the year, I went to my pastor at Boomer Baptist Church. And I didn't tell him I was called to preach. He may have suspected it. But I asked him where he went to school. And in a whirlwind of about 2 weeks, I didn't have promises of finances or anything. But I'm telling you, cold turkey, I went to Bible college. My aunt drew me a map of how to get to Bible college. And I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I'd never been out of the state. When I crossed the state line, first time I'd ever been out of the state by myself. I remember leaving home that morning. And I remember thinking, I can't do this. I was scared to death and pulled off the side of the road and thought, man, I'm going to have to try to decide what I want to do. And I'm not really sure I want to follow through with this. And it seems like that God just, in His mercy and grace, pushed me forward and said, don't worry about that. Just get back on the road and go. No argument. I didn't hear any voices. But that's what I felt in my heart. And you know, when I got back on the road, I had peace. And that was the greatest decision that I ever made in my life. And I look back now and I thank God that He didn't let me do what I wanted to do. But God calls me. He calls me to know the way wherein I should walk. He didn't just show me, but He kind of put a prod in me to cause me. And I'm telling you, there's been many times in my life that I wasn't sure what God wanted me to do. And the church that I pastor now, 30 years ago, I wasn't sure and was scared to death. But God prodded me and calls me. And I want to tell you today, we need that prodding. We need God to cause us. And that's what David said. God, this is a mixed up world. And I need You to just not only show me, but cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, a prayer for guidance. Thirdly, I want you to look at verse number 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto Thee to hide me. That's a prayer of protection. I want to tell you, through life, we have enemies, but the enemies that we have most of the time are not people. We have the enemy of the world, the flesh, and the devil. I think about how Paul one day prayed that God would deliver him from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And I recall the words of Jesus that we're to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. You've got enemies of your soul. I've got enemies of my soul. Every day that we get up, we are in a battle. And our enemies, our spiritual enemies, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And David was saying, oh God, deliver me from my enemies. I flee to You to hide me. We need to pray that prayer of protection. And then the fourth one that I want you to see is a prayer for instruction in verse 10. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. I want to tell you, God is the best of all teachers. And I love Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want to tell you that promise there is a promise of salvation, but it's also a promise to learn. He said, learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly of heart. You know how it is when you graduated from high school. There was a tinge of sadness there because you realized that part of your life was over, and now you've begun college, and one day your college will be over. And I remember when I graduated from college, I thought, thank God that part of my life is over and I don't ever want to go to school again. But you know what I found? I found that we're all in the school of life. And we're in the school of life till the day we die. And there's never a time in our life that we don't need learning and instruction in the ways of God. And here's what David was saying. He said, God, teach me to do Your will. You're my God. Your Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. I love the promise of Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee. And the way that thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. He said, be not as the horse and mule, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. God will teach us if we'll have a teachable spirit. God will show us if we don't get like the horse and mule, and our tendency is to get like the horse and mule and to get stubborn. But David was praying here, God, I need instruction. I need your help. He was the king. And he said, I need you to show me what to do. Teach me to do your will. Teach me how to do your will. Holy Spirit, lead me as I serve you. And then I want you to notice verse 11 is a prayer for revival. He said, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And you'll find out as you go through life, as a student, as a teacher, as a pastor, whatever part of life that you serve in, that you're going to get weary and tired in the way. There is something about battling the world, the flesh, the devil, and there's something about ministering that sometimes can just literally sap the spiritual life out of you. And how many times have, I think about being a pastor, and I think about some of the easiest things about being a pastor would be to preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and maybe to conduct funerals and to go to the hospital. That's probably the easiest part of being a pastor. But I'm telling you, the hardest part of being a pastor is sometimes dealing with all the sideshows that you've got to deal with in the course of ministry. Keeping peace in the church and keeping people on track and sheep are sheep, and people get upset sometimes and people get mad, and sometimes you throw the problems that a school can bring into that mix, and it can just sap the very life out of you, just like sometimes going to school and preparing to teach in a school can sap the life out of you. But David was saying he was a king, and he dealt with many things as a king. But he was saying, oh God, I need you to touch me, and I need you to breathe new life into me. I need you to make me alive, to quicken me. I love the verse that says that the youth will grow weary and faint, the young men will utterly fail, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And there's times in your life you'll find out that you just need God to touch you. It's not like you're thinking about going back and not that you're thinking about going into sin, but you just get weary and you get tired and you come to the end of your strength. I want to tell you, God can impart strength, and He can touch you, and He can give you grace to carry on. And then look at verse number 12. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. It's a prayer for God to fight your battles. And you will have battles in life. And I found out by experience, I've fought battles, and then I've let God fight battles. And God does a far greater job to fight battles than we could ever possibly do. He told Moses, he said, I'll fight your battles and you'll hold my peace. You'll hold your peace. And that's what David was saying. God, I need you to fight my battles, and I need you to help me. And of your mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all those that afflict my soul. And the last prayer that he prays in this prayer, for I am thy servant. And you think about the theme of Appalachian Bible College is to train servants. And that's what we are. And David was saying, God, I want you to know. He was the king. But he said, I want you to know that I am thy servant. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll let you lead me and show me whatever you want to show me. But I am thy servant. Whose servant are you today? Everybody is a servant to somebody or something. But whose servant are you? And again in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus told us to come unto Him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then He said, take My yoke upon you. Everybody is wearing a yoke of some kind. But Jesus said, if you'll take My yoke upon you, and learn of Me, I'm meek and lowly of heart, you'll find rest for your soul. You found salvation when you came to Him as your Savior, but you'll find rest if you take His yoke upon you and you learn of Him, and He will lead you and guide you. If you say, Lord, I'm your servant, I'll serve however you want me to serve. He said, learn of Me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And I just want to encourage you today, by the grace of God, to learn to pray the prayers of the Bible. And Psalm 143 is a great place to start and to pray all these prayers for God to help you. Listen, we need, above everything else, the hand of God in our lives and the touch of God in our lives, the serving in the way that He would have us to.